Welcome to the Marlton Assembly of God Sermon Podcast. Our church is focused on developing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed by this message.
We're on a spiritual journey for the next 31 weeks together. It's simply called The Story. On the top of the book, it says, "The Bible as one continuing story of God and His people." And so we're going to teach through the major biblical stories, and there's a resource, actually there's two resources, maybe to help you. And last week, we were running a special. We said last week, and last week only, you could buy one book for $10. But last week, if you bought both books, you could get them for $20, all right? So we're actually running a different special this week. If you buy this book for $20, we'll give you this one for free, all right? And just for the 10:45 crowd, not the 9 o'clock, you know how they are. If you buy this one for $20, and this is just for the 10:45 people only, we'll give you this one for free, all right? And that's just a one-time deal. I'm just joking. But anyway, that's what it is. It's a resource to help you and your family. Let me just tell you some things that maybe can help you as it relates to reading the scriptures. We're doing this all together. The kids, the youth, Marlton Christian Academy, Ground Zero, we're all on the spiritual journey. But there are some resources that we thought through. There's a website called churchsource.com, and you can just go there and you get any of the product. We're not trying to make money on you. We're just trying to resource you. Matter of fact, if you go to thestory.com and you want to know more testimonials and things like that, it'll push you to churchsource.com if you want to buy stuff. This book also is available on audiobook. Some of you get in the car and drive 20, 30 minutes a day, and maybe it's hard for you to read in the car. That might be very difficult. You could actually get it on audiobook on your phone or your car or whatever, and you can listen to it on the way to work or on the way home. This is going to be great for family devotions. I have a family of 5, 2 daughters in college, and 1 now in high school, and we're going to read it at least once a week, family devotions. That's just kind of what we'll do. And then also in your individual devotions. So you could do it individually along with what you're already doing. Obviously, there's a devotional too if you want to do. It's real easy reading, by the way. It's only like one little small page, but a lot of people like that. And I didn't know this either, but all the major Christian artists have kind of collaborated together. It's music inspired by the story. So if you go on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, whatever, you'll hear like these top Christian artists. Every major biblical preaching that we do is complemented by music. And so you can pick and choose what you want to do, but this is what we'll do, and we'll do it together, and we'll move forward. Does that make sense? All right, so for those who are playing along at home, next week you will read chapter 1 and then come to church with chapter 1 read. Does that make sense? We know it's Labor Day, and people are kind of in the cloud. Kids go back to school Tuesday. Kids, you excited? All right, well, calm down, all right? Shouldn't have asked that question. You know, they teach you in public speaking. Always know what response you're going to get when you ask a question. So anyway, that's what's happening. There we go. So this helps new readers engage and also helps those mature believers have a fresh perspective. This morning, I want to talk to you about the benefits of fasting and prayer. The benefits of fasting and prayer. But let me just say this again. I don't know you, I don't know exactly what you're thinking is, but when we celebrate New Year's, we don't do it January 1st. We do it Tuesday. The new year, especially if you have kids, it's the school year. You start on Tuesday or Wednesday, and you basically go to the end of May, or maybe midway through June, and then summer's different. I mean, next couple of weeks, you're going to notice that the attendance will swell, people will be a little more focused, people get their school supplies, and you kind of settle in from September all the way to May. So whenever there's a fresh time in your life, you should take time to think and pray and fast about the upcoming time or season in your life. And so this was true in the book of Acts chapter 13, and we're going to read it. And they prayed and fasted, and God showed them the next steps of their life. So I'm going to ask that you would read it loud and clear about prayer and fasting, about this season as a church, in your own personal life, your own spiritual life, your ministry, about what God has for us. And I'm just a big believer that God's going to do something wonderful in this next season of life. Do you agree with me? Absolutely. It's going to be wonderful. So I'm going to ask that you would read it loud and clear with your best voice. If we don't, I'm going to have you stand. We're going to do a Jericho march. We're going to go around the sanctuary six times if we don't do it right. Here we go. Let's read it loud and clear. Ready? While they were worshiping the Lord. Nope. All right, let's stand up. Let's stand up. You're Kyle, right? Now, I beat Kyle in ping pong yesterday. I'm glad you're here in church, Kyle. Let's read it loud and clear. Ready? While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called you." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Great job. You may be seated. There are many more benefits to prayer and fasting, but let me share with you three. Number one, fasting humbles our soul. When we fast, we acknowledge our need of God. We say, "God, we can't do this without you. I'm at the end of my rope. I need you." Prayer is wonderful, but when you take it to that platinum level and you fast, what you are saying to yourself, to God, or maybe other people around you, "I need the Lord. I am going to sacrifice my flesh to give way to the Spirit." And that comes from a humble heart. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 through 6 says this way, "In the same way, you who are young or younger, submit yourself to the elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another because," watch this, "God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." Watch this. This is how it's illustrated. When you say, "God, I don't need you. I don't need to pray. I don't need to fast." This is what God does to you. Oh, you don't? And he opposes you. Less prayers are answered, less favor, less opportunities come your way. But when you drop your hand and you humble yourself, God gives you favor in your life. Who wouldn't want God to give them favor in their life? And so when you oppose God, you don't see the miraculous as much in your life. But when you humble yourself, you'll see God's power and God's work in your life. Here's the reality. Most people are led by their emotions or their feelings or their bodies, if they will. They're led by their minds or, in our case, what we're talking about, their stomach. You get hungry and you get irritable. You ever notice this? If you have small children, what do small children need? They need to go to sleep, they need some love, and they need food. And if they don't have food, they'll let you know about it. You know what happens in America? We just kind of get bigger, and when we don't get our food, we get grumpier. You know, I told my wife, I was just sitting there, I had some coffee this morning, but I didn't have any food. And I was sitting there during worship, and my stomach was going, "Whoa." You might be sitting here, and you're like, "What time are you going to get done, Pastor John? Because I'm hungry." That's how we think. That's how we're. But what fasting is, says, "I am going to choose for a season not to eat so I can focus more on spiritual things." Let me just tell you what a fast is. A true biblical fast is to abstain from food. Actually, in a marriage, the Bible says you should have healthy, godly sexuality inside a marriage only, and then you can step away from sexuality for a season only for this reason, is to pray and to fast. After you get done praying and fasting, you should go back to your spouse and continue healthy sexuality so you don't fall back into temptation. So what you're really saying is, during this time on September 12th, I'm going to refrain myself from food and sexual activity so I could devote myself not to the flesh and my stomach and my brain and my emotions and my fears, but I'm going to give way to the Spirit so God can have more attention in my heart and my life. Most people in this room would do well to deny themselves the flesh and give God more time for the Spirit. Amen? I don't know about you, but does anyone else have a really strong flesh to try to manipulate and get out of their way? I'm telling you, if we will open ourselves up to God, God will do something wonderful in our life. Sometimes people will say, what's the best way to pray? And, you know, when I get up in the morning, sometimes I'll walk around, and I'll pray, especially if I'm tired. You know, some people say you kind of kneel with two legs down, you're like this. Some of you are like, do the Tim Tebow. You would even do the Kaepernick, but that is way too controversial. I mean, you got all this stuff going on, you know. You say, what's the best way to pray? The most powerful way to pray is with an empty stomach. When you're hungry and you're humbling yourself before God and you're praying, you're fasting before God and you're humbling yourself and saying, God, I need you. In this new season of a youth ministry, as a Ground Zero, small groups, the church, MCA, we are saying, God, we need you. Now, I want to give a shout out really quickly, and this is my mistake, but on the youth calendar for the last couple of weeks, there was something that they had on the calendar yesterday, and for whatever reason, it just kind of got by me. But Ruben, Brandon, and some of the other youth leaders under Pastor Andy's approval and leadership, they called the young people for Ground Zero and the youth ministry to a day of prayer and fasting. Young people, when I heard that, I joined with you and I fasted with you. I just didn't go in the room, but I was fasting and praying with you. But I said, wow, that's great leadership that the adult leadership in our church would call our young people to deny the flesh. That's not a popular song out there today. Have you heard it? Deny the flesh. Everything's about immorality. Am I not right? Deny the flesh and get ready for this new year. What is God going to do in our youth ministry? What is God going to do in Ground Zero? Oh, that we would give God opportunity in our hearts and our life, and the Spirit of God would touch our spirit, and God would be glorified in this new season of life. Would you put your hands together for our youth leaders? Great leadership. Thank you. Wonderful leadership. But most of us are bogged down with the voices that we have. All around us, we get on social media and we see all these different people flipping, don't like this person, go on this, and it's like, what happens? Watch this. What happens when you fast? Time stands still. Have you ever noticed it? And you know what else happens? All of a sudden you start saying, I'm hungry. But it slows down. Your life is so fast and quick-paced. We need to slow it down and say, God, we want to be close to you. This church, every church really should, every pastor should call the people in their church for times and seasons of prayer and fasting. This is just one day. We should really be calling you for 3 days or 5 days, or sometimes you'll hear a 21-day fast, a Daniel fast, or whatever. But a true fast is denying the flesh to give God way of the Spirit in your heart and your life. Moms and dads, encourage the fast. Talk to your kids about the Spirit, what God wants to do. It's a new season. By the way, it's a new season for me. It's a new season. I have two kids now in the middle of college, a junior and a sophomore. I'm still trying to figure out how to pay for it. Right there, a sophomore and a junior. But I also have now a daughter. My youngest is 14, and she's in high school. That's crazy. I'm only 25 years old. How does that? My wife and I got married when we were 3. We started having babies when we were 4. And this is what happens. You know, we just got started early. It's a new season. There's some other people. My daughter just made the Cherokee girls freshman volleyball. I don't know volleyball. I don't know the rules. I play in the backyard, but I don't know anything. You know what that said? Oh, no, we're in a new season. I got to go sit on hard bleachers at Cherokee High School. My rear end is going to be paralyzed for the next 2 months. It's a new season. Listen, all of us in our new season, it's a new time, and we pray and fast, and we humble ourselves so God can move in our lives. Number two, fasting helps you discern God's will. God has a will for your life. He has a plan of salvation. He has a plan to guide and direct you. Look back at Acts chapter 13, verse 2. We read this before. While they were worshiping the Lord, notice this, and fasting, the Holy Spirit responded. God told them what to do. Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. Everybody in this room, you have decisions to make, to buy, to sell, who to go out with, who to marry, what decisions and choices you have to make. You know, I sit down with every young family in the church when they do a baby dedication. And I try to get them to think about their child, not when they're like 1 year old, but when the kid becomes 18 years old. Most people kind of get caught in the rat race of, oh man, my kid's colicking, I don't sleep well. And all of a sudden that kid's like 2 years old and 5 years old and 13 years old and 18 years old. And it's like, what happened to me? So I try to tell them and teach them right up front. Talk about, is your kid going to have a curfew? Are they going to be allowed to date? What type of school are you going to send your kid to? Catholic school, Christian school, private school, homeschool, school hard knocks? I mean, what are you going to do with your kids, you know? My kids were in all of them on the same day. Anyway, right there. But basically, like, if you don't know what you need to do, you need to ask God. James chapter 1 says it like this. Watch this. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. You know, we raised 3 daughters. My oldest daughter, she's wonderful. Matter of fact, she was almost like full-grown, beautiful woman when she was a freshman. Abigail, you guys know her. I mean, there were seniors that were asking my daughter as a freshman to the prom. And that's why I believe you can conceal a weapon in New Jersey. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? That's why. But my daughter, she loved the Lord. She went to youth group, great experience. And she's doing so well. She leads worship at chapel, at Evangel. And she was walking across the campus, and a professor said, hey, I want you to work for me in my office. I mean, great opportunities. But when she was in seventh grade, we just noticed something about her life. And it wasn't that she was doing horrible things, but we just kind of looked and said, you know what, Lord, we can't just allow her to kind of go the way of the world. We need to pause. And we prayed and we fasted the Lord's direction for us as a family. And we chose for 1 year to homeschool our oldest daughter. Now, I'm from North Jersey. I have to be honest with you. I never even heard of homeschooling. I didn't know what homeschooling was. Down in South Jersey, it's very acceptable. It's very social. I mean, it's for a lot of people. A lot of you do it. It's so wonderful. But I'll be honest, I didn't grow up with that. I was just in public school. I was just kind of playing basketball. I didn't even know what was going on. I didn't even know who the president was. I was just, I mean, high school, those were the best 8 years of my life. But besides that, you know, I tell people I got 1,600 on my SATs, 800 my junior year, and 800 my senior year. You know what I'm saying? That's how you do it. I just didn't know. And I think someone recommended, and we just kind of thought and prayed about it. We were really seeking God's direction. It wasn't Abigail wasn't doing anything wrong. I mean, she did have an online gambling problem at that time. But besides that, you know, she was marrying 4 people in Utah. But besides that, she was a great kid. I'm just joking. It was just a decision time in our life. And my wife, we didn't know too much about homeschooling. Some of you helped us with books. But that was the best decision we ever made. It just kind of grabbed her heart, her spirit. It sprung-boarded her. We went right back to public school, and she did well. She loved the Lord. She never pushed us to date or rebel against us. She wasn't a perfect kid, but we came to a moment of decision. And I want to tell you, every mom, dad, business person, every person in the room, if you're looking for decisions and direction from the Lord, Paul and Silas, they prayed and fasted, and God gave them God's will for their life. And I want to encourage you, consider listening to God's wisdom and direction for your life. Read the first 5 or 6 books of the book of Proverbs. Get around people that actually have knowledge and say, God, I need your decision. I need your direction from the Lord. I grew up, my parents, they used to sing a song in church. Have you ever heard this song? Lord, you are more precious than silver. Have you heard that song? Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, have you ever heard that song? Yeah. No, not like that. It's my own version. It's on Spotify. The story. And I remember singing it. My parents would sing it. Like, Will, we'll be up there singing. Lord, and I'm reading through the book of Proverbs the last couple of days. That has nothing to do with, Lord, you're more precious. That has to do with wisdom. The Bible says, get wisdom. It's more precious than rubies, diamonds, silver, gold. Whatever it takes, get wisdom. Find out what God wants. Listen, if you need to make decisions in your life, You don't know which way to go. You're at the end of your rope. You say, God, why, where, what? I don't know what to do. I really like to have a spouse. I don't know. I don't see anybody. What do I do? Where do I go from here? My career, my life, my ministry, whatever. We all have to make decisions. Bring it to the Lord in prayer and fasting. There is a benefit of when you fast and you push away the toxins of the world and the voices and you begin to listen to God's voice. That God, one of the benefits is that God speaks to us about direction in our life. I find this to be true. When people go in the flesh and make decisions with the flesh, it usually doesn't work out for them. But when they humble themselves and listen to direction from God in His Word, and sometimes pastors will speak into that, I have to be honest with you. Sometimes people will come to me, and people's minds are already made up. And so I'll say, listen, I know you're talking about jumping off of the bridge into the water. I don't know anything, but if you jump, you're gonna get wet. But their minds are already made up, and they jump anyway, and they get met. And I don't wanna say, I told you so, but if you will listen to wisdom in your life, it will help you the rest of your life. So if you're at the end of your rope, spend time with the Lord. Ask God for guidance and counsel, and the Lord is faithful. He will help you, He will guide you. Pray for us as a church and a staff. There's property to be sold down the road. We need God's wisdom. There's staffing issues. We're looking for children's workers. There's other issues that we have. We need the Lord's wisdom. Oh, God, lead us by your Spirit. Give us your will. God is faithful and good. Number three, fasting gives us power to break demonic strongholds. You say, what's the church all about? Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Our problem is not the White House, it's not who the governor is, it's not who the pastor is, it's not your husband or wife. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but spiritual principalities. You remember Jesus? He gave the apostles or the disciples power to go heal the blind, raise the dead, and do miracles. And they went out with God's power. They did all these miraculous miracles, but there was one that they couldn't do. There was a father who had a son who was demonized, and they couldn't cast the demon out. And they brought him to Jesus, and Jesus, in Jesus' name, delivered the young man, completely healed. And the disciples were like, well, what's wrong with us? Why couldn't we do it? And this is what Jesus said to them. It's also found in the book of Mark. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Listen, if you want to talk about the platinum level of God's power, anointing, His gifts of the Spirit, it will not happen just in a quick prayer. Sometimes it demands a prayer and fasting and full devotion. Ladies and gentlemen, I am not here to talk about myself. And if I had a major problem, I would not use this platform for this. But if you think that this job that I'm doing is about my cool shirt from Old Navy and these jeans and very uncomfortable shoes and the string lights in the field house, you're fully mistaken. I, the pastors, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. If the curtain could be opened into the heavenlies, you would see demons, you would see every type of cohort of Satan all around us trying. Satan and hell will stop at nothing to try to get your kids. He is working overtime against the Spirit-filled church in 2018. It's real, it's powerful, it's what we sense. It's in our hearts, it's our emotions, it's our feelings. It makes us tired. It makes us exhausted. You say, what is he going through? What's the emotional? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You say, how do you know? Look at this picture of this beautiful young family. I don't know if you saw it in the news. I think it was like 8-9 days ago. Pastor Andrew and Kayla Stockline from Indian Hills Church in California. I think he's 30 or 31 years old. Three beautiful boys. And I think 8 or 9 days ago, he committed suicide. You say, what, a pastor? A pastor? He's supposed to be the model for us. He's supposed to be victorious over temptation. He's not supposed to get tired or exhausted. They said he killed himself because of anxiety and depression. Sent shockwaves through the assemblies of God in every church. You say, what? Oh, when that happened? I said, absolutely. Oh, I see that all the time. Pastors get burnt out all the time, exhausted. The pressure of finances, personally in church. Most pastors deal with things that they wish they never had to deal with. The overwhelming spiritual dynamic in the room, and that's why you should pray. If everything's going good for you on September 12th, you should pray for every pastor and deacon and small group leader in this church, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but there are spiritual principalities, especially against the spirit-filled church in America today. I think if you're a Christian leader or worker, you need these two gifts more than anything else, discernment and wisdom. It's not what we believe. What we believe is on the church website. You can find that. People don't usually come up to me and say, Pastor John, I just don't know about communion. I don't know if we should be doing the bread and the cup. That's never the issue. The issue is spirited people writing letters and not putting their names on it. People talking sly. People saying something and not saying something. People weaving around, being disrespectful, and they're not acting like they're disrespectful. And the spiritual forces that are all around us. I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the issues that you sometimes deal with as an individual are not of the flesh. It's not just working harder or being smarter. It's of God, and God has to work, and He is our victor, and He is the one that will give us the spiritual victory in Jesus' name. We need the Spirit. We need His power. We need His victory. He is the one that will help break every demonic stronghold. Some of you in this room are going through some things. I just want to tell you, you're not going to conquer it in the flesh. It must be done by the Spirit. So my leadership style, and it's just a leadership style, I don't move forward aggressively unless I feel like the Lord is leading us. The Lord is faithful. He's got us to this point, and He will help us to get where we need to go, and we wrestle not again. This is not about being cute or having the most modern song. This is about trusting God, and He will give us the victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Zechariah said, and I believe it, it's not by might nor by power, it's by the Spirit. Some of your children are rebellious to God. You've done well. I'm not here to beat you up if your kids aren't. But what they're wrestling with is spiritual pull of the world. You need to pray and fast for your kids. If you see them going astray, which all of our kids will go astray, moms and dads, deny your flesh and say, God, we need you as a family. Bring us back together. Let their hearts be on fire. You say, well, what's going on? They should know better. I gave them a good education. They live in Marlton, Mount Laurel, Moorestown. I pay too much taxes, anybody. Lord, I need your help. Listen, it's not about taxes. It's about the Spirit of God touching your kids' hearts. You need God to break it. You pray. The more you pray, the worse it gets. Some things only happen by prayer and fasting. So let me just talk to you really quickly what happens to you physically when you fast. First of all, when you fast, you will have lower energy level. Secondly, you'll have a headache. Have you ever noticed if you ever miss a meal, your thing? Most of us eat really bad food. I have to be honest, I like Chips Ahoy. Anybody else like Chips Ahoy? Yeah, I got amen. Salvation, no. Chips Ahoy, yes. All right. Dennis. You know what other ones I like? I like the cookies when they have the M&Ms in the cookies. Oh, baby! I can like pile off a bunch of them. Boom, boom, milk. Boom, 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 double-handed. No, what? Oh. I wasn't going there, but we did. That's good. We generally, as Americans, we eat a lot of bad stuff. If you listen to my wife, she immigrated here from Italy and then Germany. If you listen to her, it's all about fresh stuff. Seasons 52, right? The harvest thing, or Rastelli's, you gotta pay, like, or Whole Foods, whole paycheck. Anyway, that's a whole thing, right? Whoa, I didn't know the cantaloupe was $24. All right, anyway, trust the Lord. Anyway. But there are some things that happen to you physically. If you fast, you have to know you will be a little bit more irritable. You have to know you'll have low energy level. And sometimes you have bad breath. You say, well, I always have bad breath. That is not, go to the dentist right there. What I just do is, honestly, watch what I do. Even on Sunday, after I get done preaching two messages, you all come up to me and say, Pastor, can I tell you my problems? I'm like, sir, step away. There's nothing to see here. Pastor, I have a corn on my foot. So what I just do, I just carry a mint around. You might not think this is a big deal, but this is very spiritual. So I just like plop a mint in there and just kind of helps me throughout the day. Listen, I know when I don't eat, I'll have a headache, my energy level will be bad, and my breath. But I just realize there's some things that just happen that way. But let me tell you the positive things that happen to your physical body. According to University of Indiana, they say if you fast, it's good for your body. You'll have significant lowering of cholesterol, lowering of blood pressure, and it relieves arthritis. Obviously, if you're a diabetic, you have to be careful to talk to your doctor about how to properly fast. But it's something good. It actually pushes out your toxins. Muslim people, they fast all the time. Other people, the Buddhists, they fast all the time. For whatever reason, the Christian church misses out on the opportunity to take advantage of their physical body, but more importantly, on their spiritual body. And I'm not always the best example. I should eat a little bit better and exercise. I'm trying. But listen, fasting actually pushes out the toxins. And spiritually, it pushes out things that shouldn't be in there. So when you fast, oh yeah, you might say, oh, I'm tired, I'm hungry. And like, let's just say you're in school, right? And you hate the school food. Like, you know, what is it? Is it a hamburger or a pizza? Like, you don't know, right? You don't know. But you sit in church, you say, no, I'm going to fast. You don't like anything. You don't like anything for 29 days at the cafe-gymatorium. You don't have anything you want. But all of a sudden, that day, they serve your one thing that you would eat. You ever notice that? Your mind starts going to the things that you like. You have to deny yourself to make room for the Spirit. And when the Spirit of God comes, now here, guys, here's the deal. Some of you in this room, you've tried prayer and fasting, and it's easy to say it doesn't work. At the end of it, you're saying, wow. Let me just tell you what God says. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, it's called the fasting chapter. This is what happens. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing, some of you might get healed, shall spring up speedily. Watch this. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. The Lord encamps around those that fear him. Then you shall call on the Lord, and he will answer you. You shall cry. And this is what he will say. He will say, here I am. At the end of your fast, usually it's not during your fast, at the end of your fast, usually say, Lord, I'm so desperate for you. I need a breakthrough. My kids aren't serving you. I need direction about my job. Lord, my marriage is on the rocks. I don't have enough money to get through. How am I going to pay for college? And you bring it before the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do to serve you? I don't know. And then all of a sudden you go through a fast and the Lord says, just here I am. I'm with you. I've got your back. You can trust me. Keep believing. Walk by faith. Be an example. Keep trusting me, and you'll sense God moving in your heart through your life. Well, let me just tell you how the regular Christian life goes. You'll listen to me, and Pastor John says, everybody, you should start your morning with some prayer and devotions. So you set your alarm for 6 a.m., and you get all excited. You kind of, all right, let's go. And day one, you do pretty good. Then day two, it's a little tougher. And then day three is your day off, and you say, well, I'll do it later. And then you never do it later. And then you try to do it again the next day, and it just kind of peters out. You say, no, Pastor John, we got to really pray. You get all fired up, you know. You might make something like the Daniel fast. The Daniel fast is just basically eating food that's good for you, right? That's all that really is. And you get all excited. And your life is like this. And if you're not careful, what will happen is you'll say to yourself or Satan, fasting doesn't work. It may work for you, Pastor, because you're supposed to say that. My dad used to say this all the time. I've told you this. Pastor, like, I get paid for being good. You guys are all good for nothing. You know, that's what that is, for free. But you kind of get all, into it. I'm going to pray, I'm going to fast, I'm going to do this, and then it almost gets done, and you're like, oh, thank goodness, that was like the worst ever. You know, you're not going to the bathroom to say, you know, all this stuff different. But it's never intended just to get what you want from God. There's a dynamic that God simply wants us to be in His presence. And wouldn't it be good in this new year, say, Lord, I don't have an agenda. I'm just going to give you my heart fresh and new. Lord, my heart, my flesh rages out of control. My thoughts go crazy. What I have found is that when you fast, you focus your mind more on Jesus. Sure, your hunger, your flesh, but our flesh at times needs to be pushed down. Bad decisions, bad choices, and our spirit man made alive. Our kids need to see the Spirit. We need to see the gifts of the Spirit. We need to see the miraculous. We need God to move. And it's not just why we're doing the fast to manipulate Him. Some people say, if I do this, and then this will happen. God says, listen, I'm not a person of formula. I'm not, you forgot. Listen, the Spirit is like the wind, and it blows wherever it blows from God's will. So for a believer, Lord, there are some things in my life. How am I going to pay these bills? I have a difficult challenge here, and some people are causing me here. I have an enemy here, and I really need some help here and here. But Lord, I'm going to keep this really tight between me and you. I'm just going to give this to you. And but Lord, I'm also to hear wisdom from you. And whatever you want to do in my life, I want to be available to you. We are so agenda-driven. We have all this, but meanwhile, God is wanting to do something wonderful in your life in this new year. Could you imagine what God is going to do in September and October? I'm telling you, we're going to have problems with seating. What God is doing at the 9 o'clock is supernatural. What God is doing in our kids and our youth is miraculous. And we've only just begun to see the power and the presence of God revealed. And I believe we are walking into our destiny. And every man in the room, I believe God is going to help you to lead into greatness in this new season. But some things only happen through prayer and fasting. Every woman, I believe God wants you to walk in it. Young people, God wants you to walk in this newness, this new season. Some things only happen through the prayer and the fasting. We need God. We need His grace. So let me just tell you what happens in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you read it, the Apostle Paul talks to us about communion. But the people, the church, were having these things called a love feast, and they would all, like, have food. If you've been in church for a while, it used to be the church would have a sanctuary, and then they would have what's called a fellowship hall. Have you ever heard of that? A fellowship hall? So you go from here to there, and everyone has a crock pot. You know what a crock pot is? My mom had a crock pot every Sunday. Crock pot. You take the bread and then you put the gravy on there and you gave 50 pounds. That's what you do. Some carrots, some stir chop. I love the crock pot. Love me some crock pot. So they would have these love feasts in the fellowship hall. Everyone would bring a crock pot. And whenever you have crock pots, there's always somebody's crock pot that nobody eats from. You ever notice that? It's like a mold growing, and the pastor, out of his goodwill, he gets a nacho chip, he holds his breath, oh, Lord, keep me safe, and then everybody's happy. You ever know what I'm talking about? They were having some love feast, but they had a problem. Some people were eating without other people. The poor were eating after the rich. And God was saying, listen, this is not good. Jesus, the bread and the cup, it's all about Jesus. And he said, change that. He actually said, your meetings do more harm than good. When you come together, you come under the person of Jesus Christ, and there's great unity in the body. If you'll notice what we do at Marlton, and it's strategic, and it's important, it's godly, it speaks to every evil in America, we use words like better together. Can you put that graphic back up there, better together? This is our small group, Better Together. It's actually a new graphic. If you don't like the graphic, Pastor Chad's responsible for small groups. It's his fault, All right, it's his fault. It's his. If you like it, I'm responsible for everything in the church right here. No, I'm just joking. But do you get it? It's better together. Put up the United Prayer Service. Watch this. United. Why? We're going to come together. The world is divided. There is a fight inside the womb. Every baby is fighting for life to come out of that birth canal. It's fighting. The homes are fighting. The marriages are fighting. People are fighting because of economics, the haves and the have-nots. It's the different colors of skin and immigration. Everybody's fighting. Then all of a sudden, this one person named Jesus walks in there and say, listen, stop fighting. It's because of me. It's because of me. Jesus is the one who died for all of our sins. Your sins may be worse than mine, or mine may be worse than you. It doesn't matter. Sin must be punished, the Bible says. So it's the blood, it's the bloodline that covers over a man and cleanses us, and that's what brings us together. Some of our families are so messed up, you can't even have healthy relationships with your family. You come to church and the blood of Jesus gives us peace. You actually have a greater connection with the people that are new strangers. You're like, I have more of a connection because of that. And the Bible says when you come together, you do this in remembrance of me. Would you take that cup? Worship team, would you? The bread. This is what happened to Jesus. Watch this right here. Watch this. The bread, the body is broken so everybody in this room can be whole. The cup is red and covers over the human soul and brings peace and joy and oneness. As we come into this new year, would you stand with me in the Lord's presence? As we come into this new year, we must come in together. We must pray together. We must fast together. Moms and dads, listen to this. Listen to this. If you're a regular person, the world will suck up 70% of our kids 10 years after graduate. So if your kid graduates when they're 17, if you have three kids, two of them will go the way of the world and will not go to heaven. I have three kids, more than the church or the lights or whatever. It's my kids. I want them on the path to follow Jesus. The reason why we say united, because if kids have meaningful relationships with adults, it keeps them closer to God the rest of their life. When we say come to United Prayer Service, I'm trying to save your kids from going to hell. You don't believe me at age 16. You will when you're 26. You will come and you'll cry here, oh, Pastor John. Listen, get your family to church here. We're united, black and white, age and young, every different generation, every culture. Jesus said, my house should be called a house of prayer for all the nations. I am fighting for your kids. I'm fighting for their souls. I'm fighting for their future. If I didn't care, I would just break it all up. Hey, we'll do men's over here, do women's over here, Bible study over here. Listen, I get all, we need all that. But why we call united? Because of one person, Jesus. And we do better when we're together. We say get into a small group because it keeps you grounded. It keeps you close. Some of our families are so messed up. We need Jesus to bring it together and make us united in Jesus Christ.